Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, continuing our season previews team by team, all 30 teams around Major League Baseball to get you ready for the 2023 fantasy baseball season. Tonight, we're talking Detroit Tigers baseball, folks. It's going to be a fun one. You know, I always say bad teams have fantasy relevance. We're about to find out. And in order to break down the Tigers for me, a friend of the show, a gentleman I got to meet with the Triple Play House Boys in Arizona. He's on Triple Play Fantasy's podcast once a week, the baseball show with the boys, the Mindy boys, and Mr. Little Cheesecake himself. And he writes over at fantrax.com. Find him on Twitter at Marty_Tallman. Marty, how are we doing, my friend?
Hey, thank you for having me. As always, it's an honor to be on the show. Super excited to talk about fantasy baseball. Less about my Detroit Tigers, as they have been breaking my heart pretty much since like 2013. But outside of that, you know, I'm super pumped, man. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. It's great chatting with you as always. For those that, you know, this podcast, we're recording on behind the scenes, recording on Tuesday. It'll probably come out on Thursday, but I'll be joining Marty and the boys next Wednesday night, February 1st, to talk some third base. So make sure you guys watch Triple Play Fantasy, guys. They are always pumping out some awesome content over there. What else you guys got going on? Mark, promote your stuff. You're writing at Fantrax, everything else?
Yeah, right at Fantrax, and I want to. We're actually filling up the Triple Players Ball, which is a 15-team draft and hold on NFBC. The NFBC. It's an overall league, so we just filled up League One, and we're currently filling up League Two. So it's a mix of, you know, the Triple Play Fantasy crew, me, Doc, Art, D. Mendy, industry experts. Were you in it last year in the?
That's negatory.
No. Hey, we're going to have to get you in this year, so don't worry about that. And then the rest of our TPF community. So if you want to, you know, hop in. And the biggest thing is here. If you are interested, DM me at Marty_Tallman on Twitter. I can get you in there. And the winner takes home the TPF Golden Cleats Trophy, which you can find pinned on my Twitter. It's by far the most beautiful trophy in fantasy baseball and maybe all of fantasy sports. So we'd love to have you in there, Bubba, and, you know, the rest of you guys listening as well.
I think I'll have to jump in. I know Mindy mentioned it when we did the Twins preview last week. And I think your guys' goal this year is, I think it was there three leagues last year?
We had three leagues last year. We want four. So we're going for 60.
Six. Yeah. Okay. So we'll make it happen. We'll get there. Yes, I'll jump in one and we'll have some fun in that. It's like $50, 15 team DC formats overall for the play as ball. And it is a phenomenal trophy. It is just outstanding. I love stuff like that. Sometimes it's those trophies are better than, you know, I'm taking home a couple bucks once in a while, because, you know, they say flags fly forever. That trophy will sit. If I win that thing will be right here on every show.
If you're, I don't know if you YouTube. Saw, but the guy who won it last year, he's hilarious. He put it on, he's holding it up. He looks like he's about to put it on his mantle, and he moves the picture of his kid and wife, and he puts it on the ground and replaces it with the TPF trophy. It's That's absolutely incredible.
That's outstanding. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Yep. Like I keep saying, every once in a while, Twitter comes through. That's good stuff right there. Yep. So enjoy it, folks. Well, there might be more laughs on the show. We'll find out here in a bit. But we're talking Detroit Tigers fantasy baseball relevancy, because, you know, we don't want to talk about real life relevancy. Let's talk fantasy baseball. So we're going to go hitters. We're going to go pitchers as usual. I'll reference NFBC ADP from like January 1st, give or take. Most of these guys are going to come later in drafts. And let's just start with the guy that I know I've been all in on for years, not in on him this year. But it's like intriguing because you hear some people talk about Javi Baez. Yep. And when you actually talk about Javi Baez, I'm going to have an ADP of like 165. Way different than we're used to with Javi Baez. So what do you think? And like, it finally caught up with him last year, but was it just the first year in Detroit? Is it that ballpark? Is Javi breaking? What are you thinking?
Well, yeah, and I wanted to start off by saying the Tigers organization, just in general, is a team in transition. So we have a completely new front office and a completely new set of hitting coaches. We were like top five or bottom five worst hitting teams in all of baseball. Every single person you can think of on the team was terrible. And I don't say that like lightly. They were absolutely terrible. So the good news about all the Tigers this year is that they're super cheap. The bad news is none of them are really that good. And I think the biggest move that they made is the new dimensions of Comerica Park. Yeah. So, you know, they brought in the center field by 10 feet, but more importantly, they lowered the right center field wall from 13 feet down to 7 feet. So we should see a little bit more home runs. Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green both hit balls last year that went 425 feet from home plate, and they were both flyouts, which is just absolutely ridiculous. So overall, we should see an uptick in offensive numbers due to a brand new set of hitting coaches and a little bit smaller of a park. So back to Mr. Baez. So Roster Resource has him hitting second in the lineup, so plenty of at-bats. We know how much they paid him. They paid him everything, so he's going to be constantly playing no matter how bad or good he does. And I wanted to ask you something, Bubba. You want to hear something depressing?
Sure, why not?
Sure. Baez is projected for the highest batting average for the Detroit Tigers, according to the BatX. Yeah, for the starting lineup. And that's at a 249. So
Man.
The highest batting average. So over the BatX has him for 584 plate appearances, batting 249, 18 bombs, 67 runs, 64 RBI, and 12 stolen bases. So with his ADP, he's currently the 18th shortstop off the board. He's not going to be as bad as he was last year. You know, I think he can still provide you the 20 home runs, 10 stolen bases, and where his ADP is at. I really like him, especially if he's going to be your middle infielder. You know, I think that's where you're going to be able to find some good use for him. What do you think?
And that's, oh, sorry. What was you going to say?
No, that was it.
Okay. That's kind of the thing is I make a lot of my dumb claims. Like I'm out on Javi Baez in November. And then the beauty of doing all these podcasts and doing all the writing is like you start seeing things, you look at things, projections come out, and then your biases are farther away now because, you know, it's been a bit to like let, you know, emotions settle. Yeah, you got that? Hey. We're here all night. but the things you mentioned is what I'm kind of starting to wrap my head around. It's like we always talk about roster construction and the way the drafts flow and all that kind of stuff. Well, if it works out, we're all of a sudden, you know, at round pick 160, 170, maybe Baez falls to like 185 or something. You never know what draft you're in. And now he's your middle infielder, like you said. You know, projections have him for 18 and 12. Like, don't worry about the runs and RBIs. That's the Tigers thing. That's going to be a weird deal.
Who knows?
But the power, the speed, 18 and 12 is the conservative angle for him. Maybe he gets more comfortable in Detroit. Maybe things go better and he's back to like a 23, 24 home run guy with like 15 steals. Pretty darn good for a middle infielder, like you said. And so that's where I'd like start to sit back and like, okay, in that scenario, I can see it working out on my team. If he gets 240 plus, it's a win. Like we're happy with that because we all know swing and miss is coming. Like that's just what Baez does. But you don't want that to stop because that's who he is. That's how he does what he does. So I was like 100% not drafting Javi Baez this year. I don't have any in my early drafts, but at least he's coming into my radar as I navigate drafts differently as the draft season goes. So I'm with you on that. As a middle infield option, I can see it happening.
Yeah, you got to be healthy. You know, you have to say you're not going to draft Javi Baez, or what are you doing? You know what I mean? You're setting yourself up for failure. But if he falls down at, you know, around pick 200, you're not going to take him there. You know, he has upside, especially with all the plate appearances he's going to have in Detroit.
It's like the Million Dollar Man says, everyone's got a price. So exactly. Let's talk Riley Green. This is the one coming out of camp last year. Everyone was pumped on it, gets hurt. So he misses a good chunk of the season. Really never seemed like he got comfortable after that. You know, he's projected to be the dude. He's hit in the middle of that order this year. You mentioned the fly ball that he did not get a home run on. How are we looking at Riley Green? He's got an ADP closer to 200 right now.
Yeah, so Roster Resource has him batting third in the lineup. BatX projections have him for 584 plate appearances, batting 244, 13 bombs, 7 stolen bases, 65 runs, 55 RBIs. you kind of touched on it coming into last year. I mean, spring training hit a bomb off Garrett Cole. He was looking good. You know, he got some helium in his ADP, and then he fractured his foot. So anytime you fracture your foot and you're off for 2-3 months, just trying to do all the rehab you can just to get back, and then to come back as a rookie, it's going to be tough. So we expect him, be fully healthy this year. I am a little bit afraid of his injury risk moving forward because he dives for everything in the outfield. Like, he does not take any fly ball off. He's all over the place. He's going to do everything he can. And Scott Harris talked about another reason why they lowered the wall was for that Riley Green can rob more home runs. Yep. So he's going to be jumping all over the place. So that kind of makes me scared. But when you look at his ADP, he's going around like Alex Verdugo, Whit Merrifield, Newbar. And, I think where he's at, I really do like his ADP. I'm going to have a couple shares on him.
Yeah, he's interesting. He's very interesting because the prospect pedigree is great. Like we both said, he really never got comfortable last year. It's kind of a weird deal. Now it's like he's not even competing this spring like he was last year. Like, it's your job, kid. Like, show up. You're hitting the middle of the order. Relax. Like, just work on you. And that's a big difference. That's a huge difference for a ball player. So I am curious with him. When you mentioned the ADP, and that gets to the point of the draft where it's kind of like, okay, do you want the cautious safe piece or do you want to take the upside piece? Green's the potential upside piece. You know, your Verdugos or whatever, that's kind of your boring, you know what you're going to get piece. And that's
your difference. Who would you rather have, Newbar or him?
That one's so tough because, everyone's team Newbar on Twitter these days.
Yeah.
I love Newbar. I just can't wrap my head around all of the love for Newbar because there's so many questions in St. Louis. Like, he should lead off every day, but Edmund's still there. Like, we're not crazy. And, Newbar did lead off for most of the – if I knew Newbar was leading off every single game or, like, 140 games, I'd probably take Newbar personally. But there's still enough questions where it's a much closer question between the two, if that makes sense. So yeah, that'd probably be it. And this is where my dumb biases do come into play, is I've seen Newbar do it for a good chunk of a season where I have not seen Green do it yet. So that's a big difference for me.
And that's where I go back to, like, the Tigers having a brand new, all three hitting coaches brand new, that he's going to have. And he's currently working right now with Ryan Mountcastle.
That does not stink either,
in Florida. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe you can give him some of that pop, but this is going to be a big transition year for the Detroit Tigers, not only from like real baseball, but fantasy baseball. I'm spring training. And this is just overall advice for everybody. When you have a team like the Tigers, you're going to have to pay close attention to what the manager is saying, what the front office is saying about player roles, positioning, what they're going to do with these guys. Because I think in the industry, we do this as well. It's like we focus on ADP. We focus on what everyone's doing in our little bubble. But there's this thing called real baseball. And like, we're going to have to see, what are they going to do with these players? How are they going to, what are their roles going to be? Riley Green's cemented. We don't have to worry about that. But as we get further down in this Tigers teams, there's nothing but question marks.
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat. But Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. And that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Yeah, 100% with you. And that's what makes it fun. Like, I made the joke at the beginning, but I've said it for years on my show. I love bad teams because there's good fantasy value throughout them. They're still going to score runs. They're still going to do things that you don't have to pay a premium for them. And then if they hit that next level, it's gravy. And so that's what's kind of fun about some of these guys. And, you talked about maybe Mountcastle can give Green some pop. Maybe he can go see Austin Meadows, because I know it was only 36 games last year, but goose egg, zero home runs for Mr. Meadows. And obviously he got injured and missed most of the season after that. But ADP of 278, we've seen it in the past. Decent speed when healthy. There's two fullest seasons. He's at 27 and 33 jacks. Average is always kind of a question with him, but when healthy, he's a decent ball player. It's just been inconsistent. So how do you look at Austin Meadows this year, projected to lead off?
Yeah, and last year, not only was it like several injuries, but also mental health issues. You know, he was having a tough time, and you know, we don't know, you know, we can't peel back the curtain to see what was going on with him. But he talked about it. He released a press statement, and he was struggling, you know, with his health, mental health, and everything like that. So, you know, obviously, we all wish him the best from that, from a human perspective. And when you can take care of yourself, that's when you can actually start to do really, really well, you know, physically. So hopefully, that's what we'll get. Bad Axe has him for 15 home runs, 5 stolen bases with a .242 batting average. Yeah, as you said, he's leading off. And he's being drafted around Jesse Winker, who kind of has the same kind of questions marks with, you know, what kind of person he is, his neck surgery. Trey Mancini, a.k.a. Trey Boo Boo. Your boy. So he's hovering around there with Meadows having the full, he's going to have all the plate appearances. His role is solidified from what he can possibly offer you. We'll never get back to the bouncy ball year, you know, where he hit 33 home runs. I think that's out of the question. And I don't know if he'll ever get over 10 stolen bases, but he's going to have all the opportunity to maybe get, you know, 25 home runs, 5 stolen bases, hover somewhere around there, hitting the top of the lineup. You're going to draft where he's at. You're drafting for opportunity, and he's going to have all the opportunity in the world. So I don't have any problem with people going for him. Personally, I won't have too many shares. I need to see it. I need to see what he looks like in Detroit. But I can't argue with people who are jumping on board, because his ADP has gone up about 20 spots since I looked last week. So people are buying back in.
Yeah, and I completely agree with what you said. Like, I can see why people want to buy back in. I'm not one of them. I'm just not, for many reasons you mentioned. I'll pass. I'll take the L. I have no problem taking L's on certain guys. I'll do it. If he does well, awesome. I'm just going to pass in that scenario and hope he does well, and then we'll talk about him in 2024. Yep. And that'll be fine there, but I'm just not going to do it at that point in time. This is a guy, all his fantasy people, we always write up or discuss on shows, are my guys at the end of draft season. Jonathan Scope was my guy at the end of draft season because wasn't expensive. He can get you corner infield or middle infield. Like, the flexibility was great. If you look at his track record, it was like 20 plus home runs, 270-ish average, like year after year after year. You know, throw in a couple bags, do this, do that. Nothing crazy, but just consistent power, good average, decent like runs and RBIs for where he goes in drafts. Wow, did that not happen last year? Hit .202 with 11 homers and 5 steals. Steals was the best of his career, but that was different. The one thing I'll say that's keeping me interested, ADP of 431, and supposed to hit cleanup, looks like, for the Tigers. So those two things combined at that ADP, hitting cleanup, can't get any worse than last year. Like, I'm kind of intrigued. What's your thoughts on Scope?
Well, I'll put it this way. I just took him in the 30th round of the FPAS draft and hold. So, beautiful. You know.
You're in.
Yeah. If you get him in the 30th round, he's a body. He's projected to play as much as possible. You know, he's my third second baseman on my roster, my backup middle infielder, which I think that's something you want. If you're like in a standard 15-team league where you're going to be doing ad drops and stuff, I wouldn't even bother. But in a draft and hold, DC, he's somebody that, like you said, he's going to have plenty of playing time, batting fourth in the lineup. No one's going to want him, so I don't think they're going to move him. So, you know, I think he'll hit closer to his projections. He's Bad Axe has him for 14 home runs, you know, around .238 batting average, only 2 stolen bases, 52 runs, 56 RBIs. Like you said, if he's at the back of your roster, I think he'll be somebody you can slide in there.
Yeah, gaining the edge, I've been doing like later round draft and hold targets, and I've done all the infield now, I think, actually. Did shortstop drop today on Tuesday, and Scope I wrote up at first base. I'm just for the draft and holds, you just want plate appearances. You want playing time, and you get a guy like Scope hitting cleanup that literally should play 130, 140 plus games, and that's just gold in those formats. And if he finds any sliver of his past success, your money ahead. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, like at the price. If he was going around like Austin Meadows prices, I'd probably be out. Yeah. But we're talking past pick 400, 450-ish. We're in that range.
And middle infield is shallow, man, especially when you get it past that 25th round in a 15-team league. I mean, you know, the other people you're looking at are even worse. Yeah. So at least he's somebody intriguing with a role at that point.
Exactly. 100% on that one. Let's go to the catcher. Might be one of the better fantasy-relevant players on the Tigers outside of, like, Green and Baez is Eric Haas.
Don't say that.
It's true, but I've always loved Eric Haas. He's, like, catcher outfield eligible forever. Now he's just catcher only. But when he was catcher outfield eligible, because they had so many catchers in the way, they wanted to keep the bat in the lineup. Well, now they kind of got rid of some of those catchers in the way, and it looks like we're going to get some full-time Eric Koss behind the dish. It looks like. I could be wrong. You know much better than I would. So how are we looking at Eric Koss? I know we're hoping for 100-plus games out of Eric Koss, maybe 110, 120 if he can flex around the lineup somewhere. But what are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, so he's going to play every time against a lefty, you know, on the mound. And he's talked about in interviews over the last week or so that bringing the fences in is going to help him in his profile. He does strike out way too much. He's 31 years old. It's more than likely his best year in 2021 is behind him. But if you're in a DC, you know, and you need a, you know, as a backup catcher, you could do worse. You know, he's hitting sixth in the lineup. Bad Axe has him for 11 home runs, 32 runs, 36 RBI, around 312 plate appearances, which is, so he's split in time there. But I think as the year goes on, and if he's able to lift a couple of those balls, you know, over the fence, he's going to be playing a lot more. I don't love him, I don't know if anyone could, but if he's your second catcher, I think that's okay. Preferably, I wouldn't mind him even being like your third, like in a draft and hold. If he's your third catcher, you're doing good. You're doing things right, because with catcher this year specifically, I'm going for the Will Smith. You know, I'm going for, you know, a top five catcher, and then I'm going to get somebody from 10 to 15, because catcher drops off quick, and I don't want to have to be dealing with, you know, the Jorge Alfaros of the world. You know what I mean? Like, I want to get my catcher and roll out.
Yeah, a lot of my draft and hold type deals, Haas and like Nick Fortes have been like my 2-3. I'm like, I'll rotate those guys as my back, yep, like my catcher two with my main guy, and we're gonna rock and roll and hope it all plays out. So yeah, that's where I like Haas. He's definitely not intended to be a catcher one in any format. Do not do that. But definitely there'll be some catcher two viability as that breaks down. All right, the man that I'm really curious to get the Tigers inside track on, and I think I'm not the only one here, is Spencer Torkelson, former number one pick. Obviously, year one, rocky is the nice way to say it.
Yeah, very nice. But, I'm not,
some people say I'm a mean guy. I'm really not. But the thing with Torque, it's like the pedigree is legit. You can't even say prospect pedigree because he really didn't spend a ton of time in the minors. But, you know, the college pedigree, the draft pedigree, whatever you want to call it, the dude's a legit raking. Like, he crushes baseballs. We know that. We saw him in FPAS 2 years ago. Like, the dude is amazing. I don't know if it's a rookie bump, if it was some injuries or what it was, but it seems like they're back to giving him a full go again this year, it looks like. So what's your thoughts on Torque, who's going on ADP 300 right now?
Yeah, and the Tigers brass has already said they're 100% committed to him being their first baseman. There's no questions asked. Miguel Cabrera has already said he is the first baseman. So there's no questions about playing time. He's going to be there for better or worse. You already said he batted 201 in his rookie season. Obviously, that's pretty brutal, but we got to keep in mind, 24 years old. He has great pitch recognition. He does not swing at anything that's outside of the zone. So that's going to be the stuff that really carries over. Max exit velocity was in the 78th percentile, so he's already shown the ability to put the bat on the ball. And a few months back, Torkelson was talking about how he's actually really happy with his swing and his approach, and he's not going to try to fix too many things this offseason. So when I heard that, I'm like, how do you bat 201 and then say, you know what? No, I'm good. I like what I did. So
go the opposite of Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. So, you know, that gives me a pause for concern. But hey, if you're getting him at his ADP, or preferably if you're not drafting with any Tigers fans, man, he's going to drop. There's not, you know, there's nothing from what we saw last year, unless you're in like in a dynasty league or something like that, where people are really buying into him. If he's going to be your corner infielder, I think that's perfectly fine. I'm not going to say I'm fully in. I watched him all year. There's nothing that really stood out. I'm interested to see his spring training. So on those, you know, when you wait and you do your drafts that are really close to the beginning of the season, those are probably be the times where I'll hop more in on Spencer Torkelson. Right now, me and Torque, I'm sending it out until I see it on the field.
It's fair enough. Fair enough. I think I'll kind of echo the sentiments I used with Green. And this is coming from someone that played baseball for most of my life before I had to get a real job. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the experience and just the comfortableness. I said with Green, like, he's coming to camp. It's his job. It's his. The fact that Miggy's like, hey, Torque, it's yours. Like, you're under my wing. Like, we're going to go to camp and I'm going to teach you stuff and just follow me. Like, we got this. That's going to do a lot for him, too. Like, that's going to be big. Like, because Miggy, you know it, seeing him every day. I know just watching baseball, being a baseball fan. Aren't many other guys I'd rather have on my in my corner to, like, relax me and teach me how to play baseball. Like, it'd be like, because he's so chilly. He'll know how to calm a guy down. He'll know when he's stressing and be like, hey, come here. Like, let's figure this out. Like, and he seems like he wants to do that too. He seems like he's embraced that role like as like the big brother in the clubhouse. That's what it seems from the outside. So pretty cool to have.
Yeah, this is gonna be his last. This is Miggy's last season. You know, he's gonna soak it all in. He's gonna be there to, you know, for the younger guys. And the bad X projection on Torkelson still has him hitting 16 home runs, 59 RBI, 58 runs, 235 batting average. So the batting average is low. I think he'll hit close to the 250. You know, but like I said, we got to see it first.
And, you know, he's projected to hit eighth on roster resource. Maybe he starts hitting and he moves up that order. And that could be a big difference, too. Because I think ideally the grand scheme of things, the Tigers would want him in the middle of that lineup.
He's got to be the fourth or fifth bat. I mean, even that number one overall pick. And there's no one in front. I mean, we're talking about Jonathan Scope hitting in front of him.
Exactly.
I mean, that's pretty brutal.
They could flip-flop that spot real quickly.
Real fast. So.
Wouldn't shock me. Is there anybody else? Like, you know, they made the big trade. They got Nick for Soto. They got Nick Maton, Donnie Sands, and Matt Vierling. There's kind of like flexy, rotating guys, but maybe there's upside there. Kiel Badu's back. There's a lot of like he's a little platoon more often than not. Kerry Carpenter showing little signs of life once in a while. Is there anybody fantasy wise worth discussing at this point in time?
I don't hate Kerry Carpenter. I think that's somebody to keep an eye on. Roster Resource has him fifth in the lineup right now. You know, getting him 12 home runs, couple stolen bases, nothing crazy there. Akil Badu, who everyone bought into after his big season a couple years ago. I think he'll play a little bit. Matt Vierling is going to sub in on the corner spots between Badu and Meadows. So it's – we already talked – Meadows will probably – Meadows and Green are the only two outfielders I'm really investing in. The other ones, we're just going to have to see how it plays out. There's nothing that stands out for me. I don't trust Badu. Carpenter, I haven't seen enough of. So it's a wait and see for all those guys.
Sweet. Let's head to the starting rotation where it's interesting here too. And we'll start with my guy who, similar to my bias thoughts, and I don't think this one's going to change. I love E-Rod, truly do. I think we're going to have to break up this year because I work with a very wise person on Tuesday nights named Toby G, Batflip Crazy. And he made fun of me all the time because I loved a guy with a whip of like 1.4 every single season.
Yep.
And the more I've like paid attention to things and worked on my roster construction, I'm like, he's right. And that really, really, really sucks for your team. Doesn't matter how fun E-Rod is, there's many strikeouts he gets. And he wasn't getting strikeouts last year either. So that kind of sucked. So what's your thoughts on E-Rod? Like, was he just hurt? Was it a blip? Or is, you know, 1.4 whip over and over again probably ain't a fluke.
This is the most dramatic, like the most drama-filled team. Like last year, E-Rod just left the team at one point. Say left the team, like the head coach and the front office didn't know why he left. Like he wouldn't talk to anybody. And then eventually it comes out he was having marital problems, you know, and real problems back at home. And so, you know, I completely understand that. It's crazy to sign a huge contract and then just completely just fall off the face of the earth from the team. So there's some issues there where I can understand why, you know, where I don't really trust him yet. But you know, all those issues aside, when he did come back, you know, he went 4-2 with a 3.81 ERA. You already talked about it, only 38 strikeouts and 52 innings. With his ADP going, let me ask you this. He's going around Jose Quintana, Kendall Graveman, Aaron Civale, and Adam Wainwright. To me, E-Rod has more upside than all of those guys.
You're not wrong. Him and Civale would be close to me. Like what we saw in the second half with Civale and the way that the Guardians do things. Yeah. That one,
they know how to develop pitching.
Yeah. So
something the Tigers know nothing about.
So those two are close because that second half run with E-Rod, no strikeouts, but he still had the whip. It was just like, dude, what are we doing here? It was so frustrating. His end results, like ERA and even like just quality of starts were fine. He has crushed you in whip and didn't get strikeouts. It was like, what are you looking for on the squad here? And that's where it crushed you.
Yeah. And Steamer has him for 169 innings pitched, 152 strikeouts with a 3.93 ERA.
Yeah. He throws a ton of innings. If he would just lower the whip to like even 1.25, I'd be a lot more interested. It's just literally you look at his season after season after season. It's like 135 to 145 over and over and over again. So it's just like, can only do it for so long until something changes. And maybe it is this year again, like you mentioned, not paying a premium. You could drop him real easily that way if things don't work out, or you can just figure it out at some other time. So we'll see. But I agree, the ceiling is much better with a guy like you. He's still young. And we've seen flashes of just like amazing stretches with him.
Yeah, all of his advanced stats coming in the last year, you know, his last year in Boston were great. You know,
that's why I was all in. I was all in. I'm like, too. Dude. Like,
I thought I was a smart guy, you know, with the Comerica Park being huge and
coming it all into made the, sense, right? All
the
made
AL sense. Central. And then next thing you know, he just straight up leaves the team. Which you can't call that.
No, can't call that at all. That's a weird one. And then trying to come back after that and pitch. Good luck. Matthew Boyd coming home. This is kind of fun. You know, he went to the Giants, didn't really pitch because he was still hurt, traded on the Mariners, pitched 13 innings. Great story. I don't know how many innings he's going to throw. So I'm really like, I'm just going to watch from the side unless you know something I don't know.
I mean, they're going to pitch him as much as possible. Steamer has him for 153 innings pitched.
That'd be quite the jump.
Huge. 141 strikeouts, 4.19 ERA. So I really liked Boyd 2 years ago. You know, when his fly ball, his home run rate's always huge. And that's something he's obviously always going to need to work on. He's still in Comerica Park, and the dimensions are still pretty good there. I'm staying completely away, though, with all that said. There's no reason to invest in him. I don't care how far his ADP, how much he's dropped. I'll look somewhere else. There's nothing that stands out. I don't care that his slider was once really good. Yep, you can't pair it with any other pitches.
Dead on. The guy I am curious about investing in is Spencer Turnbull, who had Tommy John surgery, missed all of 2022, missed a good chunk of 2021 also. But by doing that, all reports say he's ready for spring training, which is beautiful to see. Should be a full go come opening day, they're saying. You know, he's still not going to go a full season workload because he missed so much time.
Yeah.
But the difference with Turnbull is what we saw before he got hurt, and he kept improving as each year. Was very, very nice, and his ADP is 432. So, and like your draft and holds, I'm very intrigued with a guy like Spencer Turnbull.
Yeah, I'm more into him as well. I think expect somewhere around 130, 140 innings. I think that would be something we would take. He looked so good before he got injured. I had him in a bunch of leagues, and I looked like the smart guy. You know what I mean? Like the home, maybe a homer pick, but actually it all worked out there. I think if you find yourself needing, you know, maybe your fifth, sixth, ideally maybe your seventh pitcher, you could do worse. I wouldn't mind buying into there. But I wouldn't reach for him by any stretch of the imagination. I wouldn't expect what he did 2 years ago to come back. And, you know, we got to take, it's a wait and see approach with him as well.
Yeah. I want to see what the velocity looks like, you know, obviously after Tommy John.
He's a spring training guy to watch.
100%. But the beautiful thing is, he's, like I said, he missed basically half of 2021, a little over half of 2021, all of 2022. So it's not like they're rushing him back. He took the full time off and some. So, like, he's ready to rock and roll compared to where others. It's like, okay, they rushed him back, like, blah, blah, blah. Makes it a little more comforting in that regard. Matt Manning is a guy we've seen, like, some highs and some definite lows from time to time. Any interest in him?
I do. Here's the guy that if I'm taking a dart throw on one of the Tigers pitchers, it's Matt Manning. I'm planting my flag for better or worse. When he was healthy last year, he was effective. A 3.43 ERA, which was the lowest of any Tiger with at least 10 starts. 3.78 FIP, which was only second to Skubal. He posted 5 quality starts in his last 9 outings. His walk rate was down. Home run rate was down. His strikeout percentage was up a little bit. His fastball is a lot more effective, and even though he's using it more than half the time, and his slider became a really good swing and miss pitch, and had a 35.8 whiff rate on that. So everything that I saw from him, he's not going to overwhelm you with your strikeouts. So, you know, it's kind of got that like Kyle Hendricks-esque as far as, you know, getting you your innings. Let's say if he pitches 140 innings, he'll probably get you 110 Ks, a little bit higher on the ERA, but from where he's going, he's basically free, and I could see some upside there. So I am in on Matt Manning, but if you do go for him, you have to have strikeout upside pitchers already in place. He's a guy that just, you know, they'll chip away and maybe help you with some counting stats, get your ratios pretty okay. Don't reach for him, which is a very big theme here with all the Tigers. Don't reach for any of them, which I don't think anybody is, but yeah, I do like him.
That's the beauty. Like almost all these pitchers, E-Rod's like a 340 or 50 ADP. These guys are all in the mid 400s. So like literally these are just pieces to build depth on your rosters and DCs and or waiver wire fodder in a fab league. Like it's, yep. It's a beautiful thing to keep in mind. I remember Manny, we'd stream off and on all of last season. Like there were times where he was very, very valuable, especially in the second half, like you mentioned. So I can see some of that playing out as well. Michael Lorenzen rounds out the rotation. Is he in play, or is there any other starters we should keep an eye on potentially throughout the season?
No, Lorenzen would be the last guy. I mean, Steamer has him for 145 innings pitched, 118 Ks, 4.33 ERA, similar profile to Matt Manning. I'm going to stay away. I just don't see a reason to go for it.
Yep, that's fair enough, and he's a very volatile guy, so I don't blame you one bit there. We don't see Tariq Skubal this year, right?
Very minimal. I mean, they might be able to fit him in, you know, at the last let me see what I got here. He's expected to pitch at some point, but flexor tendon surgery, his timetable is in flux. So just stay. I would stay away. People have been drafting him though.
I was wondering. Yeah.
He went like in the mid 20 rounds. And I'm just like, what are we doing here? He might be able to pitch 60, maybe 70 innings if you're lucky. And it's not like he's lights out. So I don't know. I don't really understand that. I think, and you'll see with ADP earlier in the year, I don't think people really understood how bad the injury was because no one's really watching the Tigers, and I understand that. But once you see what the injury is, see the timetable of return, knowing that the Tigers aren't going to rush him.
Yeah.
We're not fighting for anything here. You know, they're just going to see how he slowly develops, maybe have him do three innings here, three innings there, build up. He might be giving you four or five innings by the end of the season. And then what are we talking about?
Yep, 100% with you on that. Let's go to the bullpen now. Gregory Soto's gone. He racked up saves, and he racked up a lot of stress, too, along the way. And this kind of stinks, though, for drafted home people, because Alex Lang was a guy I don't know a lot of us were targeting later in drafts. And now he looks to be the go-to guy for the Tigers. His ADP is sitting around 255 right now. Does it look like Lang's the guy for you when you look at the Tigers?
Yeah, I mean, look, so Gregory Soto's out. Joe Jimenez out. Andrew Chafin out. So those are the three leading relief pitchers last year. So and the president of baseball operations, Scott Harris, this is what he said overall about the status of the closer position for the Detroit Tigers. This was only about a week ago. I don't think we're in a position to make any decisions on that front. There's still a lot of offseason left. We also want to see how all of our pitchers perform when they go to camp in Lakeland. So AJ Hinch is open-minded to who the closer might be, and there might be several people in that role. So this is when I talk about, you know, before when I said, you're going to have to pay close attention. Everyone, Lang went immediately in the draft and hold after we reset.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people like, oh, Alex Lang. Probably, you know, he'll probably be the number one guy. They have him projected for about 17 saves, but it's not, he's not a shoe-in, you know. Jose Cisnero could get some shots in there. Absolutely. So fantasy managers will have to pay close attention to spring training. That is the main thing. But that being said, Alex Lang overall, it looks like to be the dude. Steamer has him for 65 innings pitched, 72 Ks, 3.61 ERA. And 22 saves on there. He's projected for more saves than Jose Leclerc, Dylan Floro, and Paul Sewald.
That says a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I like how you mentioned Cisnero, because even last year there was chances for him to take a role. The one name I want to ask you about that I know I've heard from a few others, like the Roofs and the Greg Jewett and others that follow the bullpens very, very closely, is Will Vest. What are your thoughts on Vest, who at times even last year kind of showed some potential, but maybe it was just kind of a random stretch of the season?
Yeah, I mean, he's another guy. You're going to have to just see what they want to do with him. AJ Hinch keeps everything close to the chest, you know, as far as, or should I say close to the vest with everything that he wants to do there. But, you know, Will's only 27 years old, so, you know, the book hasn't been written on him. Great fastball velocity. He was in the 74th percentile. But strikeout percentage is meh. His whiff percentage is meh. His walk percentage isn't great, and he still ended the year last year with a 4.00 ERA over 63 innings. 63 innings pitched, only 63 strikeouts. So he's not that guy that's going to go in there like a typical closer and get those strikeouts that Lang is. But he's in the mix, just like all the rest of those guys. But maybe even if you are like the main closer for the Tigers, I mean, how many saves are we talking about? 15 to 20? Anything above that, you're really happy. So the secondary guys, maybe you're looking at 8-10 saves, you know, so you can kind of in a draft and hold, that's something you can chip away at. You know, I think it's serviceable, but nothing overwhelming.
All right, let's talk prospects that maybe have an impact at some point this season. That's the beautiful thing about teams that aren't the greatest. Usually they have depth, or not, I wouldn't say depth is the word, but kind of prospects that might be close to the area. I know the Tigers have a few. I don't know how great we're thinking they're going to be, but are there any guys that stand out to you to be potentially fantasy relevant this year?
And I, you know, I did my deep dive here. I went to this is probably where I spent the most time, like really trying to come up with a really good answer here. But honestly, no.
Yeah.
When it comes to fantasy, no. No one is relevant. There is no one really to call up that's going to come in here and make too much of a splash. And the reason being is most of their players are either veterans that are solidified in the role who aren't going anywhere, or they were supposed to be the prospects, you know, to lead the Tigers to the next, the next form of their franchise, the Riley Greens, the Torkelsons, and everything like that. So there's no one really standing out. I think 2-3 years from now, we'll see, like, you know, Young will come up and, you know, we'll see a couple guys there. Jackson Jobe, you know, out of the, you know, Tigers pitcher, I think someone that's going to be relevant here, 2024, but nothing really for 2023.
Yeah, it's like I'm even just looking at their pitchers in the system. We saw a little bit of last year, like very small glimpse, like Joey Wentz made an appearance. Bo Brisky, yeah. I remember that name. Alex Fado, Zach Logue, but none of them are world beaters by any
means. I like Fiedo, but he's coming off hip surgery, you know, and he's going to take a little bit to get back. He's down there with Mize, obviously, is another guy, coming off Tommy John.
Yeah,
so these... So the roles are already filled with either injury guys or guys that are up now who are struggling. So the farm's empty. And, just like 2-3 years ago when you talked about the Tigers farm system, everyone was so bright and optimistic. And you see what happens with teams that really don't have good development.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's taken a step back, you know, since then.
Let's just say for some bad reason, Eric Haas gets hurt. What about Jake Rogers?
I mean, he's been up before, you know. Okay. Jake's fine. He's defensive first catcher. I was hoping Dylan Dingler from Ohio State would provide a little bit more pop there. And so I think to see him in the next year or so. But, I mean, let's say if Rogers got the full gig, we're looking at maybe 8 home runs, batting 220.
So, Martin Maldonado?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. So,
I'm just trying to find a glimpse of hope somewhere.
I know. We're all trying to do that here in the D, and
Giants are gonna have a rough year too. If it makes you feel any better? The offseason sucked.
It won't make me feel any better. The Giants beat us in the World Series.
Well, I was there. I was live. The game Pablo went deep 3 times. I wasn't gonna bring it up. You brought the World Series up, so
dude, every time I. The only saving grace with the Giants is that I played on them in Little League and we won the World Series, the championship. So, I have like a Giants T-shirt, still from back in the day. So, but outside of that, dude, no, I don't feel anything bad for Giants fans.
That's very fair. Very fair. Yeah. And you know what's funny too is Marty can probably still wear the shirt. Anything I wore in Little League barely fits my left leg, probably. So, big difference there too. All right, we're gonna wrap it up there. Tigers preview in the books. Before we head on out, Marty. Remind everybody where they can find you and what you got going on.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Marty_Tallman. You can catch me each week on the Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Pod. We do them Wednesday nights. Bubba, it's going to be exciting. I'm excited to have you on that. And then Triple Players Ball, hit me up. Get into this, man. Come against the Triple Players and all the rest of the industry. You know, we're really excited. And baseball is coming quick, bro. It's coming fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been scheduling out these team preview podcasts, and I do them like a week at a time, and I'm already scheduling into February, and I'm like, it's already February. Like, holy crikeys. It's flying by. It's insane that it's literally pitchers and catchers report in like 2.5 weeks.
Yep.
So,
and I want to thank you for having me on. You know, I always love being on the show. I'm a big fan of the show before I was, quote, in the industry, and now that, I'm here, I love being on it, so I love everything you do, so thank you. thanks for having me on. And always. I'm always here to, you know, if you want to get depressed, we can talk Tigers baseball, man. I'm here for you.
I always have fun talking to you. So next time I have you on, we'll talk about something non-Tigers related.
Please.
I'll make it my best. But everybody, make sure, again, you follow Marty on Twitter at Marty_Tallman. Always great stuff from him and the Triple Play boys. But until next time, this is Bench with Bubba, your Detroit Tigers season preview. Catch you guys later.
Fun way to win up to 25 times your money this football season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of statistics, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and an enormous selection of players and stat options are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million football fans who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/get100. And use code GET100. That's code GET100 at prizepicks.com/get100 for a first deposit matchup to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy sports made easy.